Welcome to Golden Mastermind Seminars Radio with your host, Jeffrey Combs.
Jeffrey Combs, President and Founder, Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated, 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, a beautiful early August afternoon. Welcome to Facebook Live. I will let the Facebook Live populate, and then we'll move into the inspirational portion of today's Facebook Live. Welcome to Facebook Live. It is awesome to be here with you on this beautiful August 4th day. Cassie, welcome to Facebook Live. Marina, Kate, Grace, welcome. Topic for today's call is your ability to access your power, meaning being able to tap into that power and then transmute it into results, solutions, creative ways to attract leads, to come up with ideas, how to channel your energy and attract to reality people and situations that will fulfill cause, meaning, and purpose. Callie, welcome to the call. Berenice, Scott, Zach, Kate, Cassiopa, Ophelia, Henry, welcome to Facebook Live. And if I didn't say your name, it's because it's Jeffrey Matheny. Welcome. Taco Tuesday, welcome, Jeffrey. Appreciate you being on today's Facebook Live. Once again, the topic for today's Facebook Live is your ability to be able to transmute your emotional, etheric energy. The word is power. Josh Morin, welcome to Facebook Live this afternoon. I'm going to go ahead and move right into the inspirational portion of today's Facebook Live. Ryan Bertelson, welcome to Facebook Live this afternoon. Ryan, where do you live? I believe you and I have connected before. Thank you for being here. So if you're brand new to the Facebook Live, the GMS Golden Mastermind Seminar podcast, welcome to Facebook Live here today. Charlie and Sissy, look forward to coaching you very soon. And Ophelia, welcome. Okay, so let's move into the inspirational portion of today's Facebook Live. As all of you are acutely aware, our country is in very challenging times. And it's very easy with everything that's going on around you. That's the outer world for us, me, you, any of us to get overwhelmed. As you notice, there's more and more content about the mask. The masks are being forced on us. It's very easy to get overwhelmed about the situation. France is now indoctrinating mandate. That's the word, mandate. That's the word of 2020, mandate, that wearing masks are now mandatory. I saw a former client of mine who did a video. He was removed from an airplane Sunday for not wearing a mask, and he did a video on this. And so what does this mean? It means that in today's challenging times, it's gonna require you to be your best and not give up your power, whatever that means. I mean, you create meaning out of what it means. And so if you have to wear a mask short term, I mean, that's totally up to you. There's constitutional rights and all these other situations. But what I suggest you do is you find a way not to be in conflict with yourself and others to the best of your ability. I know that if I have to wear a mask, as bizarre as this sounds, from the hostess stand to my table outside, I'm going to do it for right now. But I also would be part of the robots rebellion if we got to that stage. But for intent and purposes, focus on results, solutions, and accessing your power. Now, your power is non-physical. It's not linear. It doesn't have shape and form. I'm not talking about the power it takes to pick up a set of barbells or pull-ups or push-ups or climbing the rope or doing a springboard dive or exercising, weightlifting, softball, any sport. The type of power that I'm suggesting you access is your emotional power. Now, most of society is cut off from their emotional power because they live in their upper chest in a state called fight or flight. Based on unresolved events, which are traumas, molestation, sexual abuse, growing up in homes with violence, growing home with alcoholic parents, grandparents, being traumatized by brothers, sisters, bullies on the playground, we tend to lose our power. Then we mate, date, attract partners, soulmates, teammates of similar influence to fulfill our feelings of low self-esteem, diminishing our power. Then the communication that we operate in is, hi, nice to meet you, I'm not good enough. That becomes the mixed message. As you learn to let go, separate feelings from events, that means you're scaling consciousness, you're moving up on the power ladder. Power meaning not physical again, but power is consciousness. When you were in your power, to be empowered. I used to have a company called Empower You Now. was my first publishing company. And empower means, when you're empowered, it means you're in your power. And in that power that you're in, you're able to access an energy that can change who and what you attract. When you are no longer the mind-body connection to the events that shape the feelings, then you are in consciousness. Now, that consciousness means you know. Someone asked me earlier today, how do you know? My answer was, I know. I will not intellectualize what I know or explain what I know when I know, because what you know is what you trust. What you know is power. And when you're in power, there's no doubt. When you're in doubt, you're in a mixed message. That mixed message is, I might not, I could, I couldn't, I should, I shouldn't, I could win, I could lose, I could be right, I could be wrong. Doubt is the duality that a large percent of the population lives in an overwhelmed state, in anxiety. So there's anxiety, fear, and doubt. And doubt is the higher level of those energies. And doubt is close to consciousness because you can have a foot in consciousness and a foot in doubt. That's why some people can go in and out. They can have a result, and then the next day they shut down. They can have a good week, and then they have a week where they get overwhelmed. So they have inconsistent emotions that keep them going in and out. And this will show up in relationships, business, money, etc. Inconsistent emotions are what create inconsistent results because you doubt. You know you could, but you're not sure if you couldn't. You know you could hire me, but you're not sure if you could afford it. You could afford it, but you're not sure if you're going to get a result. I mean, this is how many people communicate with themselves. But as you let go, you start to develop an emotional muscle. That emotional muscle becomes power. Now, there's a dichotomy because power doesn't operate on any outside influence. If you grew up in a situation where you were forced to do things, or you feel forced to do something now, or you try and force yourself to lose weight, or you're trying to force yourself to stop drinking, or you're trying to force yourself on a diet, a detox, a cleanse, that force will create a counterforce. That force creates a counter reaction, because force thrives on conflict. And that's what you see going on in the political world. There's a lot of conflict. There's a lot of hate. And this is what oppositions do. And this is about winning and losing, right and wrong, good and black, good and bad, black and white. And that's what force and counterforce, that's the relation between the two. But power doesn't access that. So, sometimes you just let go and, okay, I'm wearing the mask. I'll wear the mask short term. I don't agree with it, but I can suck it up short term, and I can do this without having to be right. Now, that would be one example. Once again, that's your right to choose. That's totally up to you, but that would be one example. That means you surrender. Now, surrendering doesn't always mean you're weak. Surrender is a duality word. It's a lot like being vulnerable. Vulnerable is duality also, because being vulnerable, you can get hurt, or being vulnerable, you can connect with someone. Surrendering means you can surrender your ego. You can surrender your will. You can let go of your feelings, or surrender means you're weak. I'm surrendering, I'm quitting. So there's a duality to it. But in the world of consciousness, surrender means let go. It means you surrender to acceptance. And you accept where you are, and you understand where you are. And as you start to understand, as you move into understanding, you're moving into power. Because once you move into know, then you stop doubting. In the world of selling, a large percent of the population that I have coached, I've encountered, I've met, in real estate, mortgage, car sales, any type of selling, there's an association with rejection. So many people say, I don't want to come across as a used car salesman. I don't want people to think I'm trying to sell them something. So there's an aversion to selling. That aversion is an unconscious pain mechanism that keeps many people avoiding the process because of the perceived pain of being rejected, ridiculed, judged, not creating a result, getting in trouble, making a mistake. These are some of the situations. Now, notice in high school, you're not taught how to sell. College, there's very little information on selling. Fortunately for me, I learned to sell radio and television advertising when I was in college. My college actually had a curriculum for it, and I specialized in it. I was a campus sales manager and had four sales representatives that I was responsible for when I was a senior in college. And I went out and recruited businesses to buy from our campus station. It was my real introduction into selling in a real world. I later became a territory rep for Southwestern Bell, straight commission, ran a territory all up and down the West Coast. And I was responsible for multiple Yellow Page directories. It was some of the best sales training I ever had. And at that time, I was reading Tom Hopkins, This was in the late 80s, How to Master the Art of Selling. I'd bought the book in 1985, highlighted it the summer of 1986, and never really applied it until the late 80s. And that book really taught me a lot about selling, but nothing taught me more about selling than doing the application of the repetition and experience. That's when I really learned to sell with power, not to overpower a prospect, but also to be able to understand the prospect, to be able to hear the prospect, to be able to listen to the prospect, not be intimidated by the prospect. I'll never forget, one guy threw me out of his office, or he threatened to throw me out of his office. I didn't do anything. He just didn't like the telephone company. And he was complaining about last year's representative. I let him vent, and he said, I don't want any advertising this year. I said, I can appreciate that. If that's the case, you're going to have to at least sign the contract that shows that you're canceling all your advertising. Now, this isn't good for me if he cancels all of his advertising, because I'm going to get a charge back, and I didn't even sell it. And I said, would you at least give me 5 minutes to show you what I prepared for you? He goes, no more than 5 minutes. I sat down, showed him what I prepared. He goes, move the phone number over there. And he bought another full-page ad. Now, once again, that's when when opportunity meets preparation, that it's better to be good than lucky. That's what luck is. So when opportunity meets preparation. So I was prepared, and the guy bought it. That didn't happen all the time, but it happens frequently because of the skill set I've learned over a long career of not giving my power away. And anytime I ever have a customer complaint or a situation like this, I never go on the offense. I always play defense first so that I let the opposition show their hand rather than give my power away. Now, that's in the book, The Art of War, also The 48 Laws of Power by Robert Greene. It's keep your friends close, enemies closer. Understand your adversary. Understand your opponent. Understand your prospect. Understand your teammate. And what you learn to understand is predictability. Now, I get this question frequently. How do I? Now, how do I is the analytical, egoic mind that wants to make sense of situations that don't necessarily make sense. Wearing a mask doesn't make sense. Well, it does if you understand what the purpose of the mask is for. I mean, if when you understand why the mask is used, then you won't question it so frequently. Or, I can't believe this. We have this drug, and this new drug could resolve everything. Well, I don't understand why we're not using it. Well, understand why they're not using it so you don't stay in your head, intellectualizing, analyzing, and then being disappointed and frustrated. Frustration, disappointment will rob you of your energy. It takes you out of your power. Anytime you're in anxiety, fear, doubt, you've dropped down into emotions that scale consciousness anywhere from 25 cycles a second, that's a very low vibration, all the way up to about 180 cycles a second, which is near consciousness. Anger scales out at the highest emotion, and anger is not sustainable. Anger is offensive. Anger can alienate people. Anger is hostile. Also, anger is very connected to passion. They're similar energies. When you can turn your anger into passion, or you can let go of your anger and harness that into power, then it can be effective. It's very ineffective to stay angry, in hate, in rage, in disappointment, in frustration. They're exhausting energies. And when you're exhausted, you have no power because you feel emotionally drained, emotionally overwhelmed. And if you're in your head all day, thinking, analyzing, studying, listening to knowledge and content, what you're really doing is avoiding creating results. And the solution that you're seeking comes from the results. So if you have debt, well, the solution is to create profit money, not to borrow more money. What I watch many non-success seekers do is get into debt. They have a lot of debt. They have liability debt. And what they tend to do is borrow more debt to address the liability debt they have while they continue to avoid creating the result by living the solution. It's a very common commonality that the American populace has been seduced by because credit is easy, money is free, it's handed out in today's world, and it robs you of the skill of creativity, innovation, being able to create your own profit from the comfort of your home, being able to create the transaction, asking for the commitments, asking for the orders, creating the connections, creating the bond between teammates, creating the opportunity to build the culture. And this is what many people are willing to do. They're willing to sit home and wait for someone to take care of them. Well, eventually, time runs out. Same thing happens if you just keep getting ready to get ready, giving your power away. When you're in your head thinking about someone, and this is how many people communicate this, I'm not sure if I can put myself out there. Like, where is out there? Is that the stratosphere? Is that outland? Is that center field, left field, right field? Is it the bleachers? Is it the stratosphere? I mean, out there is a term that people use. What they really mean is they're not comfortable being vulnerable. And even being vulnerable, to write a post on Facebook isn't necessarily being vulnerable. It's being able to put your fingers in the keypad and writing some content that could be interesting, that could have a value proposition, that could give someone some insight. But when your ego goes, well, you're not that smart, you're not that good, you didn't make it through college, you didn't make it through high school, you had a child when you're 18. When you start, the ego finds every way possible to sabotage yourself. Your ego is your lower self, where you're disempowered. Your higher self is consciousness, understanding, awareness. There's no shape and form. That's all very etheric. It seems very iffy for many people because what they want is certainty. Your ego wants to know what is certain, so your ego will hold on to what's familiar because the ego knows the outcome. Letting go of your anxiety about the outcome is what allows you to move into your higher power. And in 12-step programs, that term higher power that many people go, that I choose to refer to as God. And so many people go, they confuse this. They go, I can't come to this organization. It's a Christian organization. Well, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, once you move into acceptance, you get out of that narrative about what it is, and you accept the assistance and guidance you could get, because the goal is to have an anchor, not to make someone wrong. And that's what many people do, is connecting to source, being able to be in the morphogenic energy, being able to connect with the quantum field where all the answers are, being able to connect with the Akashic records where every event that's ever happened in the universe is acknowledgeable. And when you're in that kind of content, when you're able to access that content, your brain and body is operating as a transmitter and a receiver. This explains the phenomenon called synchronicity. This is why you can think of someone and occasionally pick the telephone up, and before you can dial, or as you're dialing them, they message you. So that means that's how waves of energy work across the oceans, across the world, across the country. And it becomes an aha moment called synchronicity. Now, Carl Jung wrote about this in the 1920s. A physicist who really started to understand that. I have a few of his books, and he's the real father of modern synchronicity. And then you have the Pareto principle. It also breaks down the 80-20 principle and how 20% of 20 and 20% of that number and that number, it breaks down to the law of few. And so in the law of the few, that's where you start to really access your power, and that's where you find other people of power that you're seeking to attract. When you start to understand that attraction is the science, and you start to practice the science of attraction, the way you write, I mean, this is ad copy, this would be being able to create a video to attract your reality, the people and situations that you're seeking. When you have clarity, clarity is power, because clarity is knowing. When you have a vision of the outcome that you seek to create, and you know that the outcome is already created, everything is now just academic, because you know it's going to happen. Then you take all the pressure off about forcing it. Force creates a counterforce. Force creates an opposition. You'll either be your own opposition, or you'll attract someone to oppose you so that you can be in the same conflict you grew up with your parents, your grandparents, your brother, your sister, or any multitude of situations that you continue to attract to fulfill your low self-esteem, your disappointment, your frustration. Now, when the pain is great enough, that means you are done with it. You are so done with this, then you were able to let go of the cause that creates the effect of why you do what you do. And when you are no longer that mind-body connection, as you scale consciousness, you're moving into power. Power is non-physical. It's not linear. It's not an equation. It's a feeling. It's empowered. That means I am in my power. It means I'm in my zone. And in that zone, there's no doubt. And your focus is a lot shorter. It's not a long focus out in the future. It's right here and it's right now. And that's how you start to create the compounded effect. It's what you do daily. Now, in that type of power, you seldom get taken out of your power because of you've reconditioned your brain and body to be one. The way you were conditioned as a child, you were separate. You had parents that separated. You had parents that weren't emotionally available. You had parents that abandoned and neglected you. You had parents that were addicts. And some of you had really good homes, but most of society grew up in conflict, alcoholism, more than one father, chaos, drama that goes on. the body starts to react to the stimulus. It means your body starts going into fight or flight as a child. If you get picked on in the playground, if you're labeled if you have a learning disability, you're labeled not a smart child, names can be called, your body starts to react. On the way to school, you're overwhelmed. Now you live overwhelmed. Now you're worried about outcomes that doesn't happen. I worry all the time. I'm always worried. I'm always overwhelmed. I'm not organized. I'm not disciplined. I can't read books. I can only listen to CDs and downloads. I mean, this becomes the story. This is the analytical egoic mind that keeps you from being empowered and keeps you disempowered. And typically, what a large percent of the world does is they join something. They join a culture. They join a business. They want to be a part of something. But their unconscious keeps referencing the past by saying, you're not good enough. You can't have that man. You can't have that woman. You can't be good. You can't succeed. If you rank advanced, you'll have to be able to be responsible. Oh my God, I'm not sure if I can be responsible. Then you end up the refrigerator. You end up in the medicine cabinet. You end up online shopping. I mean, it becomes the cardio cocktail that an addict lives for, the high and the low. The high, the spike from the purchase, the low from, oh my God, I couldn't believe I bought this, I've got to send it back. I mean, that's the guilt associated with the high that an emotional addict gets from the pain-pleasure syndrome. But when the pleasure is not worth the pain, then you're letting go. As you begin to let go, now you start to access a different level of energy. That energy becomes etheric, it becomes emotional. It's called passion, it's called charisma, it's called connectivity. And that type of connectivity attracts to your reality a different type of person. I was coaching one of my clients last night about conflict and about the importance of letting go of conflict. And I was asking, why did you send that message? What are you seeking by doing this? And so as I assisted my client to understand that conflict is not power, conflict is force, because conflict creates a counterforce. Counterforce is an opposition. It's a right, wrong, good, bad. And if we could just agree more frequently on our political parties, we'd have less conflict, less hate. If we could listen better, if we could hear what people mean, if we could really understand their point of view without getting our point of view in the way, we would have a better understanding in our communities, in our country, in our world, in our teams, in our organizations. That's why being a great listener, a great communicator, a great writer are all very important skills to master. Most importantly, do your best to stay out of conflict, right, wrong, good, bad, black, white, win, lose. Because there's no real victory in alienating people unless you have to. I mean, you want to be an ambassador of change. It's true, you have to take a stand at times, but pick your battles. I mean, keep your friends close, enemies closer, understand your opposition, your opponent. Become a student of this process, a student of the game, and most importantly, practice the skill of letting go while being and staying in your power. This is Jeffrey Combs, Facebook Live on a beautiful Tuesday afternoon. If you have not accessed a free 20-minute coaching call, I offer those 7 days a week. And if you're brand new to Facebook Live or you've never seen me or accessed my services before, I offer 20-minute coaching sessions to people for first-time requesters who have at least some level of interest in hiring me to be their coach. Now, this Facebook Live is recorded and available on podcast on Golden Mastermind Seminars Incorporated. I have changed the name of this for 22 years. It was called 21 years. It was called the More Heart Than Talent Mindset First Call Than Mindset Podcast. I have gone back to my original roots, which is Golden Mastermind Seminars. This is a GMS live on my podcast on Facebook Live. It is on www.goldenmastermind.com. Now, coming up in about a month, my assistant millionaire apprentice is Dylan Albertson, and he's preparing a very unique marketing proposition for the Labor Day weekend. Can you believe this? It's Labor Day almost. We're 1 month away. So in this month of August, as I wrap the Facebook Live up here today, be your best you. Now, what does that mean? Here's just a few tips on being your best you. Spend the rest of the day in gratitude without criticizing yourself. You can be honest. So that gives you room to make a mistake, but that mistake doesn't mean you criticize yourself for a mistake. And that mistake is a Jim Rohn term called error in judgment. Jim Rohn was famous for using that term, error in judgment. The best Jim Rohn quote that I ever heard him say live was, if you have pennies in your pockets, zero in your bank account, and creditors calling, it's time to change your philosophy, because your philosophy has you where you are. That's from The Art of Exceptional Living, the great Jim Rohn, which I had the privilege of booking Jim Rohn on four different occasions in my career. He spoke for me 4 times in Dallas, Texas, and I shared the stage with him 1 time in Los Angeles back in 2000. That was a very, very unique experience. Thank every one of you for being on today's Facebook Live. Joe Shermer, thank you. That is Joe Shermer, the author of the highly inspiring book, Rise as One. Tina, good to see you. Josh Morin, good to see you. Berenice, good to see you. And thank all of you for being on today's Facebook Live. Gina Martini, I believe you're a new face here on Facebook Live. Thank you for showing up. Have a great afternoon, everyone.